ngingenile, I'm on my way, kodwa ke ngoba izawuphuma ngokule network, ayikho inetwork. Azange ndikwazi uvula iFacebook, one WhatsApp emails obundithumelele zona. Ndigqibayithola ngoku this link. Okay, so ndiyamuva ngoku to another, and then ndizawuyenzela emotweni wala ndawo ningandimangaleli.
It's saying here about 25, but I'm just checking. It's giving me problems. I can't see everybody.
You can't see everybody. Let me check. ngicela labantu be IT ukuthi bangibonise bonke abantu abala ngoba ngibaboni bonke.
Okay, check.
Ngoba ngibona u ngibona umamsonti, ngibona umasiko, ngibona uhlongo, ngibona uCarol.
Ngikhona nami che Masondo.
Masondo. Ngiyambona Joyce. Okay, we can start our meeting. Good morning, honorable members. I declare this meeting officially open. I hope that you have rested. Those of you who were working over the weekend, hopefully everywhere where you were for the by elections, I think it was peacefully because I haven't seen any negative reports from the media, unless maybe I've missed it. And I welcome you all, and I hope that in this term we are going to work very hard. We must try our level best that we finish everything that we want to do in this term. We are going to. I think the other thing that we need to do in relation to gender-based violence, I think you have seen it when we're on recess. There are three bills that they've introduced by the Department of Justice. And I'm sure, honorable members, you went through those bills. And I'm sure as the portfolio committee also, I would like our researchers to take us through. We'll have a meeting so that they can make a presentation so that members can understand the bills better and see on how then as the portfolio committee are going to make a submission if there is a need for us to make a submission to the portfolio committee of justice and correctional services. And I think we must also welcome the pronouncement by the Minister of Agriculture, of Land and Rural Development, and DM. I'm hoping that women are going to get land, and they are going to be prioritized so that they can be afforded an opportunity to own land. And I think what we need to do also, our researchers must check for us, or through the Department of Women, they must also check for us on how many women have benefited on the land that have been the land that the department, the minister, have announced that at least people are given an opportunity to apply now. So, and the other one is, I think we need to try and convene meetings whereby all role-playing departments on the issue of GBV must be able to also account on what is that they've done on issues of gender-based violence and femicide. And, And I've seen what the department have done. They've advertised the nominations for people to serve in the National Council for Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. But it's only today that we as the portfolio committee, we are going to engage on the presentation. So I'm not sure, honorable members, if can you hear me? Oh, yeah. I'm ngicabanga ukuthi I'm muted. So I basically, these are the things that I wanted to raise with us as the portfolio committee and see on how then do we deal with other things. And I'm sure without any waste of time, we can now check with Nelly Sobuti, do we have any apology, and so that we can move on. You know, Kashifa, there's one thing that I want to raise with you. First of all, we must find a way on how do you present your analysis to us as honorable members. And I don't know, I've been trying to call you several times yesterday, and you were not answering my calls, because I wanted you to present your analysis before we get the presentation from the department. And in fact, most of you, all of you, the researchers now of late, even when we call you, you don't answer. And this thing of you guys, of thinking that when we go as the portfolio committee, we tell you that we're going somewhere and you are not available, that means what I have to do is to raise with Parliament so that they can remove you in our portfolio committee. We can't have researchers when you are instructed that we are told that we have a trip to go somewhere and all of you are not available. We are not answering calls. When the portfolio committee has got to take an oversight, we are not available. The last time when we were dealing with the issue of NYCA, all of you were not available. When we were going to Durban also, all of you were not available. I was trying to call you yesterday. You were not answering my calls. Today is the portfolio committee. Honorable members, you have just awarded your research. I was reading that thing last night. I have questions that I wanted to raise with you. I'm sure even other members have questions to raise with you, and you are not available for us to get clarity. In fact, today, I wanted us to start with your analysis first. If you guys don't want to work with us, then you must excuse yourself so that the parliament can deploy other staff members who are going to work with us. Nelisa, can we get my apologies?
Good morning, Chair and members and the department. I have received only one apology from Member Ngwenya, who is the new member of the committee. She is saying that our meeting clashes with the Portfolio Committee on Social Development meeting. So she will attend. She's attending the Portfolio Committee meeting on social development. That's the only one that I've received. Thank you.
Member Ngwenya, is she a full member? From which party?
From the EFF, she's an alternate.
Okay.
Did you see her?
Okay, we can now move to the next item.
Sure.
The next item, I think, is the presentation of the honorable members. I'm not sure because I've seen, I think, even before the department presents, the last meeting that we held, I think we had a concern on the composition of the council, that it's 51-49, and I don't know who accounts to who. But maybe let's get the department, whoever is going to present, maybe you need to clarify us. Because it's only today that you are presenting to us, and but your just go to the next item.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Deputy Minister, and the officials of the Department of Women. Is the Director General here who's presenting?
My apologies. I didn't welcome you and SDG and the Minister, and at least I have already welcomed the CM because she was here before we started. I welcome you all with your officials. Thank you very much. Minister, good morning, and SDG, good morning, and all your staff members, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning. Next slide.
Well, DG.
Yes.
Good morning, Jefferson.
Good morning, Minister. How are you?
And all members of the Parliament. We don't know when this thing called Corona will go back home so that we can live normal life. We thought it was just a visitor, but it's like it's here to stay. So a whole lot of things, of the way we do things, gets meddled up with our program. And at the end of the day, because that which should take 1 week takes 4 weeks. And then we go back in week four and deal with a matter like we were dealing with it in week one. This is human nature. I think before the DG presents, I thought it was important for us to remind ourselves as to where do we come from. 1980, the adoption, I'm talking about the adoption of the National Strategic Plan. Where does the National Strategic Plan come from? It's an outcome of an all women summit, which was attended by women from all walks of life, presided over by the president. What followed after that was that for us to move faster, we need to have a IMC. After the adoption of the structure that I've just referred to, National Strategic Plan, which took us weeks, by the way, because rightfully the Portfolio Committee wanted to know the content of the NSP. But we were unable to share this because it came from the President's office. It has not even served there. They have not even given. Cabinet has not even given us a quiet. That has come and passed. Immediately when the PSC's mandate was given by Cabinet, it was with, yes, carry on with the PSC, but the first step had IMC, Interministerial Committee of six ministers, and then there up the council. Then you can start working from there. Now, from that time till today, all we could do was to have IMC. The little I know about IMC is when you work, you refer back to the president who appointed you as the IMC. And when there's a meeting that has to be a general meeting, it goes back to the cabinet and so on. So. But because of COVID, I think we are trying to speed up things this way and that. Nevertheless, this department that runs with no pay had to start, meaning that council mandate was presidency, IMC council. Now, we all thought council was very, no, council needs money, council needs foot soldiers, council actually needs at least 4 full-time people who will be working on nothing else but council. Remember that the IMC, in the IMC, each and every member of the IMC or in cabinet has a responsibility. So coming back to you and briefing you and or not briefing, our mandate we thought was IMC council. So we had this in mind, that there's absolutely nothing that you're doing, you know, behind you, but that you would have known that there is no proper NSP without this IMC and the council. Now, the debate started within the IMC that you need a council. That council should be similar to SANAC because we do not have money. We actually don't have money to a point of even less than SANAC. So that which you have requested for today and ask the question, why did you advertise even before we to advertise for you to advertise? It's almost moving towards almost 3 years of no cancel, but women are dying every day. So the reporting line, it's still as skewed, and if you like, somebody can wake up in the morning and say, by then, a department of women, youth and people's service. So people are dying, they're still waiting to, they have to wait still for 2 more weeks to present what are they thinking about the council. The council is one in that group of the summit by the president, the IMC, and the conclusion being the council. But with the council, because we are South African, people need to be seen to have been selected in a proper, open, transparent way. So that's why the advert has to be done. Let's take it that we're only going to take mandate from the portfolio committee to start thinking of a council this week. It means we will only have council in January. That's when this structure will be coming out. Everywhere where the president goes, he announces a structure, a complete structure that has him, the IMC, and the council. So when by, you know, even with COVID, you try and raise your head to fundraise for this zero budget department, people want to know who, because there's no council. So I thought this back background would give a bit of, there was absolutely nothing we thought we were hiding by advertising. With the CSOs in particular, because they don't work for government, but also because we don't have money to pay those who are going to be running with government. Those who are members of the NEC, of the ANC, learned this weekend that the so-called partnership between business and government, between CSOs and government, they have to come with some mandate. I don't know if they have elections. Oh, yeah. The business, when you talk to them, they talk of NetLeg and how they need to get their people. But with CSOs, they are men. So we cannot choose for them as to who should then sit in the council. Time is, I don't want to say time is running out. Time has run out. I thank you, Chair.
Sorry for that. I was busy with the IT. Honorable Sheriff, I see your hand is up.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to find from the Minister. I saw an advertisement for the Board of Trustees in order to establish the National Council of Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. I'm just wondering if the Minister could just give us some information on exactly what that Board of Trustees will be doing and how that will happen. And also the budget issue, Minister, it is an issue. I think it's important to find the money because government continuously speaks about the need to resource and budget for gender-based violence and femicide. But if you're telling us today that there is no budget to even launch the council or to give remuneration to those on the council, then that is a little bit of a problem, Minister. And I think it's something that, you know, we as the committee can assist you with, you know, to ensure that we launch this Council of GBVF, because it's very important. And I don't need to tell you, Minister, I think you're pretty aware of how important it is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sheriff. Honorable Mastiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think I've been covered by Honorable Sharif on the issue of the Board of Trustees. But I just want to speak, Honorable Chairperson, on the issue that the Minister is raising, and that is the issue of time. I think as a portfolio committee, we have on several occasions had several questions on the establishment and the functionality of the council. And also, Honorable Chairperson, I think on issues of us getting clarity, you could, yes, convene a meeting, but also I think the committee does deserve some form of a written communication in relation to the questions that we have long been asking on the establishment and the reporting lines of the council. I think it's given that it must be established, but I think before even issues of advertising take place, the committee needs to be taken into confidence in relation to this, because we do all get or receive questions from, you know, ordinary members of the public. And as a portfolio committee, we find ourselves that we're not in a position to actually answer some of the questions that have been raised, because ourselves, we do have questions around the issues of the council. So thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think the Minister will be able to sort of give us clarity on that. Thanks, Chair.
In fact, Honorable Mastiko, yeah, and Honorable Sheriff, yeah, right. Myself and yourself, we were asked by the chief whip of the majority party about the advert. And we told the chief whip that we know nothing about the advert. And there are other things that we are not agreeing with you in terms of the establishment of the number that you are going to have certain people, meaning 51% will be civil society and 49% will be government representatives. And there are many things, Minister, that are declaring in the presentation that is forwarded to us as the portfolio committee. The reporting part of it is another one. And there are many questions that we are going to ask you today. And I'm not sure how are you going to deal with them. Because on the other hand, you have already placed the advert. And we as the portfolio committee will want two other things to be added. And the advert is already out. So how are you going to amend your advert, and how are you going to go back and structure on what will be the role of the Board of Trustees, the Secretariat, the budget, and so on, and all those many questions. You'll see when we are done with the presentation that how many questions do we have as the Portfolio Committee. And Minister, the Portfolio Committee are not a platform whereby you are going to come with your report and we rubber stamp what you are giving to us. That will mean there is no need for us to be honorable members, to be members of the portfolio committee to do our oversight. You know, when I was listening to you, when you were trying to explain to us, we are not going to rubber stamp anything that you are coming with without us scrutinizing us and engaging in what you are presenting before us. And you are one person who understands exactly how does Parliament work and what is the role and the functions of the honorable members of Parliament. In doing oversight, we are doing oversight. In fact, if one has to critique you, even what we have written in your presentation and what ASANAC is having, it's different. So I'm not sure which part of SANEC have you taken, which part of SANEC is
taken. Levi!
So,
Levi!
What's that now? What's happening?
Hi.
One second, George.
You don't know, Chair.
I see. What is happening in our meeting? I see.
I will talk with them, Chair, as to what is happening.
Chair, the noise is coming from Merrington. That L. I don't know who that guy is. No.
If we don't recognize this person, perhaps they can be removed.
Who is that person? Merrington ZL. Who is that? IT? Nelisa? Or can you please check for us who are the people who are here? Because I just see many, many people that I don't know.
I can
see those that are coming from the department. That I know, the minister, the DG, the deputy minister, Peter, and but other people that are here, I don't know.
Hello, Mimi, all right? I'm sure that's a corner car. I'm not weird dropped in Ben Jobbins.
Aye, Mam Ton, you send that on.
Sorry, Chair.
There are many questions. So we are not saying the department must not move. We're not saying that. We want the department to move. But how do we then move if there are other things even yourself that you can't explain, that we have already considered? Yeah. But maybe let's Siko, I see your hand is up. Honorable Masiko?
Yes, Chair, I had raised it up the first time. I forgot to take it down.
Okay, take it down. So, what we are saying...
Chairperson, if they don't tell us who they are, maybe they can just remove them from our meeting because we have worked here.
Sorry, Chairperson, we are trying to work on that. I'm checking the IT if you can't assist us in this.
Okay,
Chair.
And I'm honorable members, they must mute their mic.
Okay.
Because we are in the formal meeting. If we're not playing here. So I see Mam Sosi, your hand is up. But what I was saying is that we are not saying the department must not implement what's supposed to be implemented. We must be, as honorable members, we must be also be able to explain when we are asked, what is this? Are you aware of this address? And what is happening, so that you can be able also to explain. Issues of gender-based violence and femicide, Minister, are being taken also seriously by us. Now we are aware because we even go to the site every day and try to make interventions where we are able to make interventions. We are not saying the department must not do what is required. We want to work hand in hand with you, but what we are also saying is that we must be taken into consideration so that we are able to explain to whoever is asking us. Yes, we know this is what we have, the department has presented, this is what we have raised as the portfolio committee, and we are satisfied. It can't be like we are a portfolio committee and we are not working together with you. No, that is not our intention. We all have the interest of dealing with gender-based violence and femicide wholeheartedly. We ask for that much.
Ndiyabulela Chairperson. Okokuqala ndicela uxolo kakhulu, my mic was on. Sorry for that. Unelisa ndimxelele ekuseni ukuthi I'm struggling of in network where I'm staying. You know, this work of us as member of parliament, you are going everywhere. So where I am now, there is no network total. So I must go to some other areas to get a network. So I was coming back to search something for my laptop so that I can see everything in my phone because I'm using the phone now. So sorry for that, Chairperson. Malunga nendaba ye gender-based violence. Chairperson, in the book, our government slowly, I don't know, ukuthi fanele kwenzeke ntoni because sekusenzeka already. Each and every day, bayafa abantu, bayafa abantwana, bayafa amakhehlekazi, bayafa. But izinto zakhona zislowly ukuthi bancedakale. Andiyazi ukuthi ugovernment babone ukuthi this thing is very seriously. Even iyouth yethu ikhathele incamile isenathemba ngendlela endibona ngakhona. Ndise-Northern Cape Chairperson for now. Izinto esizibonayo apha abantwana bethu bagcwele istrata bakwi-drugs in everything abakhontroleki. So ndiyacela our department mayime ngenyawo kakhulu kosiyam isincede kubi. Every day abantu bayafa babulawa kabuhlungu uthole ukuthi iphephe traitors abazithola amapolisa. Amapolisa uthi okokuqala, they are not serious
namhlanje bazosipresenta.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah. Also, omunye eminye imisebenzi ayenziwa yibo as the Department of Women and Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Eminye imisebenzi yenziwa our social development, yiwabo SAPS. Bona ke umsebenzi wabo ukukhuluma nabo, kodwa ke mamsoni ezinye iy'nkinga ezivela kwamanye ama-department ezenzakalayo akumelanga bona sibablame ngoba akuseki ama-department abakuwo. Bona nabo owabo umsebenzi kufaneke sibavumele lo bona aba-responsible for bona, uyabona. Bese thina as the portfolio committee into ekufaneke siyenze, kufaneke sibize the other departments lezo khuluma ngazo, sibabuze ukuthi bona benzani ngalokhu, bona benzani ngalokhu, so that singathathi konke silahlele kubo ngathi yibo abayenza ukuthi kungadeliver ama-services for abantu. Yibo abayenza ngathi abantu into zama-drugs kungadelwa ngibo, kanti kukhona i-department esibiza ukuthi i-social development okufaneke ikubone konke lokho. Namaphoyisa afaneke siziloku jana i-department yamaphoyisa ize izo-accounta ukuthi kwenziwa yini ukuthi abantu mabahambile bayokufisa bese bangaboshwa noma kwenzakale yonke le mihlo leyenzakalayo esibona sonke. Kungabi ngathi sithwalisa bona umthwalo. Bona njenganamhlanje kufaneke basitele ngalokhu abakwenzile bona abakwenzayo, bese siyabatshela ukuthi thina asivumelani ngabo luphi. Sifuna ukuthi thina sicabanga ukuthi thina le nto beyizosebenzeka kangcono uma kwenzakala kanjani, yabo. Lokhu kufaneke sibasise kukoko. Mara ngiyaku-understand mina ama-frustrations wakho. Yiko ngithe, I think what we need to do is to also call other departments to account on issues with gender-based violence because they have a responsibility. Yabo? So that's why even here, when you look at the composition, structure, the national council, we are going to akhona lawo ma department. So bona they must come and tell us what it is that they are doing on these issues currently, because it doesn't mean if there's no council things cannot happen. The council is another body that we want to establish in trying to address issues of gender-based violence, but now our department has got the responsibility to handle all those cases. I think, Minister, I will now hand over to you so that you can respond, and then we hand over to DG to make a presentation so that honourable members, we can all the questions that we are having, we can raise today. All the questions will be asked today, and we will expect department to respond to the questions. So, Mthambe, without any waste of time, let me give to you, Minister.
Without much waste of time, Chair, allow me to ask the DG to make the presentation, because this is just part, the beginning of how we are trying. We all have this booklet of the framework, but we are trying to see how this should be of the PC should be implemented. This is where we are now. What must happen first and fast in this era when there's absolutely no pain? DG.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the presentation will be able to respond to some of the questions that have been raised by members of the portfolio committee. The purpose of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide is to amplify national response to gender-based violence and femicide. The objective is to implement the recommendations of the Presidential Summit Declaration on Gender-Based Violence of 2018. A copy of the declaration is also in the booklet that the minister is referring to. and the NSP was adopted by cabinet. Article 4 of the presidential declaration on gender-based violence and femicide of 2019 calls for the establishment of a national council on gender-based violence and femicide that will drive a coordinated, integrated, and effective response to gender-based violence and femicide. The National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence was approved by Cabinet on 11 March 2020. It remains, the National Strategic Plan remains the strategic directive on the establishment of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. Chapter 5 of the NSP, which Minister referred to, that is the Members of Parliament have, focuses on the institutional arrangement and implementation modalities. It provides the scope of the institutional arrangements in page 57 of the NSP. One of the parameters in the in paragraph 5.1 of the NSP is the setting up of an independent structure comprising 51% civil society representatives and 49% government representatives, reflecting of a range of interests and personalities. The institutional arrangement referred to is the establishment of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. The next slide, please. The extent of gender-based violence and femicide in South Africa has reached crisis proportions. Gender-based violence continues to be a raging shadow pandemic. The scourge of gender-based violence demands that government and society as a whole recognize the level of the crisis and provide commensurate action, acknowledging the past inadequacies of the response and the commitments made to the country in the wake of activism in August 2018. Next slide. This repeats the part that I've... Article 4E of the Presidential Summit Declaration declared that a national multi-sectoral coordinating body be inclusive in its representation, with at least 51% of its members coming from civil society. Paragraph 5.4 on page 59 provides that the establishment of the National Gender-Based Violence, National Council on Gender-Based Violence should be an independent and non-partisan advisory body and task the Department of Justice with setting out of the powers and functions of the council. Paragraph 5.4.1 of the National Gender-Based Violence NSP provides for the establishment of the executive body constituted by 13 members comprising 51% civil society and 49% government representatives. Paragraph 5.4.2 of the National Gender-Based Violence NSP provides for the establishment of the secretariat led by a CEO to provide technical and administrative support to the National Council. Next paragraph. With regard to the establishment of the Council, the joint meeting of Cabinet Committees on 10 December 2019 recommended to Cabinet that should the National Council be established, consideration be developing an operational model similar to that of the South African National AIDS Council, as no legislation is required for that one. With regards to the council, to this council, the cabinet meeting on 11 March approved that an interministerial committee be established to play a key facilitation role in the council processes. Due to the agency to establish the council to immediately process crucial gender-based violence matters, the IMC and the National Gender and the National Council will, in due course, then consider legislation, legislating the council. However, for now, it should be through the SANEC route. The establishment of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence is in line with Cabinet's decision not to pursue immediately the idea of a statutory a council due to the urgency of the Act on Gender-Based Violence. The recommendation that an operational model similar to SANEC be developed has been adopted as the concept for the National Gender-Based Violence, National Council on Gender-Based Violence. Next paragraph. SANEC is a multi-sectoral voluntary body comprised of representatives from government, civil society, with 18 sectors, private sector, organized labor, and business. The deputy president is the chairperson of SANEC, deputized by the elected leader of civil society formation. SANEC is constituted by a trust with 11 trustees appointed by the deputy president after consultation with Minister of Health and co-chair of SANEC and the secretariat with a CEO and administrative staff. The SANEC structures are as follows, as shown in the diagram. Next paragraph, next slide. Similar to the SANEC model, the National Council will comprise of the trust, the secretariat, and the other structures, civil society, the plenary. The differences between SANEC and this council, not all SANEC structures will be replicated at the moment. Only the plenary and civil society forum are adopted. Next slide. With regards to the establishment of the board that will be established for this council, the executive board will be constituted by 13 members, as indicated, that 51 will be civil society and 49% will be government. Civil society appointed through a public nomination process as required by the NSP, but also in line with the advert that members of the parliament were referring to. The public has to nominate according to the predetermined categories. All other civil society sectors will be included in the civil society forum structure. The sector type will be disability, rural women, academia or research institutions, youth formation, organized labor, organized business, LGBTQI, and from government DGs or DDGs nominated by the relevant IMC minister in line with the civil society process. The nomination package must include curriculum vitae, letter of intent, and a statement highlighting contribution to the mission of National Gender-Based Violence, to the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. The six representatives from government will be as per the departments in the IMC, as per the ministers in the IMC. The IMC constitutes the Minister of Women, Minister of Social Development, Minister of Police, Minister of Public Service and Administration, Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, and National Treasurer. So the government representatives will also be constituted by government officials from those departments. Next slide. The secretariat of the board will be constituted as follows. The unit will be led by a CEO who provides technical and administrative support to the council. The secretariat will be responsible for the day-to-day running of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide with proper human and financial resources and is accountable to the executive board. The program or project management units are based on the six pillars and responsible for managing program or project implementation. So the structure depicts the structure of the secretariat. It will be a CEO with a secretary, and then there will be an administration office, which will be finance, operations, human resource, and logistics management. And then also it will have a gender-based violence and femicide fund. Its responsibility will be to raise funds, like it's in SANEC. And then the six offices would be as per the six pillars. So it will be accountability. The first one will be responsible for accountability, coordination, and leadership. The second one, prevention and restoration, rebuilding of social fabric. Third one, protection, safety, and justice. The fourth one, response, care, support, and healing. Fifth one is economic power. The sixth one is research and information system. As these pillars are the pillars that are in the NSP, then there will be an administration unit that focuses on communication and stakeholder management, training and capacity building, and there will be the support unit, which is administration. The next slide. Thank you. We were lost. Can you hear me?
Able.
Okay, thank you. All all National Council and gender-based violence and femicide structures are co-chaired by government and an elected member of the civil society, except in instances where composition is predetermined and specific to a sector. The plenary, which is co-chaired by the Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Need the representation of ministers in the economic cluster. We'll have response, social development, SAPS, and others will be sitting. For example, Minister of Local Government, Minister of COCTA will have to sit in this plenary because of the DDM. We're in the process of linking the NSP with the DDM. So based on that, the Minister of COCTA will be one of the ministers who will have to sit at the plenary. At the plenary also, there will be 14 civil society sectors. Also, premiers of the nine provinces form part of the expanded plenary. Financial implications to be incurred will relate to logistical and administrative support. For the plenary, the plenary, all that would be required is funding for those civil society to attend the meeting twice a year. The only financial implication that the council will have is for the secretariat, because the executive board is on a voluntary basis. They are not going to be paid. Next slide. The Interministerial Committee, as indicated earlier on, comprises six ministers and is chaired by the Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. It is a structure that coordinates the government input and responses in preparation for the plenary. The Interministerial Committee Technical Task Team comprises six ministers and is chaired. The Interministerial Committee Technical Task Team constitutes departments. the departments that support the IMC. So it's officials that are nominated by their departments to assist, to serve, and to provide secretarial services for the IMC. It's coordinated by the DDG in the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Next slide. Civil Society Forum. These are the forums that will be sitting at the plenary. There's a difference, maybe just to explain to members of the portfolio committee. There is an IMC, and then there is the board, the executive board. That's where we will have 51% from civil society, 49% from government. And then we will have a plenary. The plenary, that's where this civil society, 14 civil society representatives, also private sector, will have private sector. Before we go to private sector, civil society forum, we've grouped them as in women, men, children, faith-based organization, traditional leaders, law and human rights, higher education, health professionals, sex workers and trafficking, NGO and CBOs, arts and media, labor, disability, LGBTQI. Also under health professionals, the focus more is on mental health, because the issues of mental health are the ones that contribute to the issues of violence against gender-based violence. These are just broad representative sectors. They all have the responsibility to go back and coordinate in their sectors in order for them to participate in the plenary. So when they come to the plenary, they'll be coming to represent the communities where they come from. Next slide. Private sector forum. Private sector is is an integral role player in multi-sectoral response to combating gender-based violence. And also, gender-based violence happens even at the workplace. So the private sector forum comprises 10 members representing 10 sectors. The private sector forum coordinates the private sector response before going to the plenary. Also, at the last webinar that we had with them, they had requested that NEDLAC, we can communicate with them through NEDLAC, because that's where NEDLAC, government and civil society need to address certain issues. So the sectors that have been identified here can be expanded through NEDLAC. Next slide. The composition of the three spheres of government, implications of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence model in terms of provincial and local replication need to be outlined. The constitution of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Structures will be led by the Department of Women at the national level, the premier at the provincial level, and should build on the victim empowerment programs structures that exist in the provinces. The mayor at both municipal and district level, and the structures should organic and build on existing ones. For example, community policing forums and other forums that exist in the provinces. Next slide. Just an organic organogramic explanation of the structure of the council. Obvious, the responsibility lies with the president, or the accounting, we account to the president. Ministers and the IMC account to the president. Hence, you see the structure goes to the president, but also links with the IMC. And then the issue of legislation is put aside, because the declaration and the NSP refers to legislation that the structure that should be established should be a structure, a statutory structure. However, as indicated in the presentation, that cabinet decided that maybe in the meantime, before there's legislation, in order to report to the INC. It will always report back to the minister, and the minister will report to the INC. So the executive board, there is no way the executive board can overrule what government says, because the IMC has the final say on whatever comes from the executive board. And then the plenary, that's where all civil society, government, and all will be able to meet and discuss issues and agree on issues similar to the SANEC process. Then we have provincial...
Didi?
Yes.
Can you please start afresh on this structure, the organogram?
Okay.
Just start afresh on this one.
Okay. Yeah, the structure is shown here. The IMC reports to the president, and the minister also reports to the president. Minister reports in both ways to the IMC, and also sits in the IMC, and therefore reports to the president. And then the executive board is the structure, the trust that is to be registered, which has the 13 members, 7 from civil society and 6 from government departments. The people who are going to be represented in this structure are officials from government. It's not the ministers, it's officials from government departments in the executive board, because those are the ones that have to...
Maybe before you continue, I want you to explain to me. You see, when you look at this organogram,
yes.
Blue is the president.
And is there something else I can help with?
And then, sorry, and then I can.
Yes, it seems to happen a lot in the PC woman meeting. You just need to give a timestamp for where that they spoke, and then you just need to say who spoke. So Mr. Apple spoke in another language, and then just give a timestamp. Hi, Esther. Yes, it seems to happen a lot in the.
So that you can be in the same page.
Okay. Peter, go back to the SANEC, to the slide that goes to SANEC, to the SANEC structure. I think it's page 7 or 8. I think it's page 7. Page 7. Okay.
Sorry. Oh. Apple Cash isn't available here.
I think it's page 6. Page 6. Page 6. From slide from bullet two says the deputy president is the chair of SANEC, deputized by the elected leader of the civil society formation. SANEC is constituted by a trust with 11 trustees appointed by the deputy president after consultation with the Minister of Health and co-chair of SANEC, and the secretariat with the CEO and administrative staff. The SANEC structure are as shown in the diagram. The private sector forum is currently being conceptualized and will be responsible for coordinating private sector responses. So it's the SANEC Trust, SANEC Secretariat, and then the plenary. So this is how the plenary looks like. The plenary, extended plenary, there's program review committee, the IMC, government technical task team, resource mobilization committee, civil society forum, and donor coordination committee. So I think the area where you are interested in is the one on plenary and the program review committee and the IMC. The IMC reports to the president. And sorry, the IMC reports to the deputy president because he's the chair also of the plenary of SANEC. I'm not sure if it's
clear. Like I said, the group on the, in terms of the SANEC one structure, which SANEC structure, the IMC reports to the deputy president.
Yes.
But according to your structure, I guess, because, I mean, yes. If you said you copied from the model that is used for a SANEC a model, then, but that's where the difference is yours. If we are copying the model of SANEC, Mina, for a person like myself who is reading what you have written, I'm expecting all these things that are here from SANEC.
Well, but we've indicated somewhere that we didn't take everything as is, because this one, with the one on gender-based violence, the president himself is the one who actually, because the president can't sit and chair it, but the minister reports weekly to him because he wants reports on that. So he didn't delegate the deputy president to this one, to the National Gender-Based Violence Council. He himself takes responsibility, but it's just that he's not going to chair the plenary. The plenary will be chaired by the minister, but the minister reports. The minister provides weekly reports. Even now, starting from now, the minister is providing weekly reports on what government departments are doing to the president, because even though he doesn't see, he's actually the one. One would say he's chairing, but it's just that he can't be there chairing. So the minister represents him in the plenary when she chairs the plenary, because he's taken responsibility for that, or he didn't delegate to the deputy president.
That's why I was arguing about this one, because I was in the last term I was a member of the Portfolio Committee on Health, and I knew that the deputy president was the one who's chairing, SANEC. So that's why when you are saying, so your model is different from the SANEC model.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you might say we've copied the executive board process, the executive board and the secretariat and the plenary. Their plenary has got 40 members. Ours is going to be lesser than theirs. Ours is not going to be as big as the SANEC one, but we've copied some of the things. The trust, they established SANEC through a trust. And the trust is an executive board and the secretariat, and they have a plenary. So that's what we've copied from them. That's the format. When you say the SANEC format, that's the format that we followed. But there are issues that distinguishes the two. For example, the fact that the minister reports weekly to the president, and also the fact that this one is going to be
Committee.
I understand what Parliament is saying in terms of the reporting line, in terms of how the council is going to report to portfolio committee. I think because there's an IMC and there's a minister, the minister will always be the one who reports to the portfolio committee on the council until maybe there's legislation that specifies exactly how the relationship between the council and parliament would be. But the minister will always be responsible for reporting for the council. But nothing stops the portfolio committee from calling anyone to come and appear before the portfolio committee. As indicated that, it's then the minister in the presidency, because the minister also reports to the IMC. So even though the arrows are pointing downwards, actually they should be pointing upwards to show how the reporting lines will be going. So, and then the executive board, as indicated that there will be civil society organizations, there will be government officials, and there will be the secretary. So government officials, the board will always report to the minister and to the IMC. And then there will be the plenary will be a meeting that is, the secretariat will be the one that will be organizing those meetings and making sure that their reports and all those. And then we are looking at establishing, replicating the councils in the provinces and in local government. It might not be a national council registered through the trust. In fact, it will not be. It will be committees, but that are doing the same thing. Hence, there's a process currently of ensuring that the NSP is mainstreamed into the DDM, so that the DDM, the process of addressing gender-based violence, could be also integrated in all municipalities and districts. Next slide. I think, that was the last slide. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. Thank you. Of the committee.
No, we're just saying on a lighter note that, you know, in South Africa we're used to acronyms, but we might also be assuming that every one member of the committee know what to do. The district development model, because women are not killed in the, you know, in the sky, but it's in some locality, and so therefore we were trying to push that the district and the local municipalities are also fully responsible in knowing what's going on where. Thank you. DDM, District Development Model. Thank you.
Okay. You know, Minister, and I still have a concern. Though you have tried to say, you have spoken about the issue of 5149. This one, I want to say this upfront to yourself. As the portfolio committee, I don't think we'll agree with this one, because we don't understand what is the rationale of the majority of civil society on the board, to be having the majority of civil society on the board and government representatives, they become less. Yes, I heard you. You were saying you are implementing resolutions that were taken from the declaration of the civil society organization that the president had a meeting with. But does it mean when the president or yourselves, you meet with civil society, you take decisions, you take them raw as they are and go and implement? And then what is the responsibility of government then? So if civil society, and you know, this thing is like public participation. Government, when we do public participation, government has got a responsibility to assess and evaluate all the inputs that are made or submissions that are made by civil there is no way whereby we'll allow civil society to be more than government representatives. That one we don't agree. I want to check also, I'm going to check also with the other portfolio committees, all role-playing portfolio committees, on what advice have they given to their ministers when they were dealing with these issues, the gender-based violence and femicide. Because it can be correct. It can be correct. You know, I was reading this document at the minister and DM. I was even asking myself about what do you mean by gender GBV fund? What is that fund about? And is this still under vote 13? If some of the money that is coming from vote 13, which your department is dealing with, it's under program 3, the issues of Lokunjana, they are under program 3, then it means one way or the other, the reporting part of it and the accountability, our portfolio committee is supposed to get those reports. You know, I'm just raising things that I see in a document, and I'm asking myself, what's going on? But let me hand over to honourable members so that honourable members can start asking clarity-seeking questions. Over to you, honourable members.
Honourable Maluleke, I don't have that.
Honourable Masondo.
Okay, let me write down. Honourable Maluleke.
Honourable Masondo.
Honourable Sharif.
Honourable Masondo.
Oh, Honourable Sharif.
Honourable Kewa.
Honourable Masondo.
Kweba.
Honourable Masondo.
Masondo, I've written your name long time ago.
Okay.
Piti.
Robot.
Okay, Masiko.
So, have you written the Kemwa?
Yes, ma'am. Balile Maluleke, Masondo, Sharif, Mamtengwa, Mgweba, Mpiti, Masiko, Ngobo, and who else in Ampalanga?
Shongo.
Oh, Shongo.
Mamson.
Oh, Mamson. Okay, in that order, asale ngo Honorable Maluleke. Honorable Maluleke.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, and let me welcome the presentation from the DG. And also greet the minister and the deputy minister and all my colleagues. Chairperson, really, I don't have a question on this one, but I just want to raise some concerns on this thing of us as government. Always duplicating things. We have councils, we have commissions, we have got everything, but we don't strengthen the structures that we have. Now we are talking about the country. And you can see, as you are asking some questions, there are some loopholes that really, as a committee, we are not happy about. Because how can the council be mightier than the parliament or the government? Yes, I understand that our government is governing for the people. But we can cannot allow a situation where the minister becomes civil. How is it that as a government we are going to be accountable to those things? So my concern is that really we are just duplicating things. We are fond of making structures upon structures. Why don't we strengthen structures that we have? Yes, GPG is a concern to all of us. But what is it that we are doing to ensure that police, they do their work? Justice is doing their work. Health department, they are doing their work. But we are always, I'm not sure what is it that we want to achieve, really, Shepherd. And let me just leave it there. That's my concern. Thank you.
Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I greet all the members present and the officials, minister and deputy minister. I would like to welcome the report as presented to us. I just have two questions because the one has been answered. That one is talking about 51% and 49% of the civil society and government representation. The one that I want to ask, how does the Council of GBV and Femicide linked to the Intersectoral Committee as exposed in the criminal law, which is the Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act of 32 of 2007. The other one that was asked by the chairperson, it was not clarified, that who will the council then account to? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sharif.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you to the DG for the presentation. The first thing I would like to ask, Chair, with your permission, is for the department to present to us a budget of the National Council of GBVF. The reason for this is because the minister did say that there is no money. And so I would like to have more information on exactly what is needed and where the money will come from. Chairperson, I also wanted to find out, in this slide, it says that the Department of Justice will set out the powers and functions.
I thought you were going to say, what is the use of advertising first and appoint the council when you don't have a budget? I think you are going to add that one.
Absolutely. Thank you for adding that, Chairperson. You see, great minds think alike, Chair. I wanted to find out about the Department of Justice setting out the powers and functions. Has that happened? And if that has happened, can we see what that looks like? On slide 12, we speak about health professionals and mental health. I think that's very important and an excellent thing to have. But we also need to speak about health professionals and how we can ensure there's better access to you know, different aspects of the health mechanism for women and for the members of the LGBTIQA community. Chairperson, you will know that oftentimes when the trans community goes to their local clinics or the hospitals or even the police station, they're discriminated simply because they are part of the LGBTIQA community, and that's something we need to look at. I wanted to ask about the composition in the three, in province and local government. It's a good thing to say that there should be these structures replicated in provincial and local government, but what do we have as a national government to ensure that this is replicated? It's one thing to say you need to do it, but it's another thing to say it has to be done. This is how it's going to be done. This is how we monitor it. And honestly, Chairperson, the only way we can do that is through legislation. Once we legislate the council, once we have this legislation, then we can hold province and local governments to this legislation, because it will be a national legislation as constituted by the Constitution. Okay, all right. And then, Chairperson, I wanted to ask the department to list all the current challenges that they face with the establishment of the council, and what the mitigating factors are that they're going to be looking at. And Chairperson, on the last point, you spoke about having a meeting where all these departments come and account to our committee on the work that they're doing. Chair and members, you will remember we did have, or we tried to have a joint sitting with all the ministers from the IMC, with all the departments that are part of the NSP. But that meeting did not happen because those departments were not there to brief us on the NSP and the council. So, Chairperson, with your permission, perhaps we can request a another joint sitting soon in the next couple of weeks, in a month's time, so we can find out what departments are doing. In the meantime, while the council is not established, what's happening currently? We can't wait for the council. We waited for the NSP, but now we have the NSP. Each department has given their mandate. What's happening? We as a committee need to know. And it goes point to Honorable Masiko's point, where constituents are asking us. They say, you are in Parliament, we've elected you, you are a representative, and we can't give them information because we're not getting it from the ministers and from departments. And that's not okay, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mamsemwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. First of all, let me greet all the members, including you, Chairperson, and apologize for registration late due to problems. But first of all, I must welcome the presentation. Then from the presentation, I have two questions. Because my worry is that we are still building council after council. I must have a clarity on why the deputy president appointing another trustee while there is a portfolio committee which he must strengthen that portfolio committee, because the portfolio committee is reporting directly to the parliament. That is my worry. Because now we are building council after council, of which it is no value. As Sheriff said, the department said that there is no money in the department, but we are still accumulating trustees. Number two, I have a worry of this abbreviation, because if we have a flyers, we are giving people these flyers, but they don't know what is it. Let us use a clear, understandable language to our presentation, not abbreviation, because this abbreviation is making a lot of misunderstanding. Thank you.
Okay, Masiabonga. Honorable Mukweba.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning, honorable members, the minister, the deputy minister. Chair, let me welcome the presentation by the department and the progress thus far. One would say, in fact, I've got only three questions. That I understand that on the issue of accountability, I think that was the question that we asked as members in the last portfolio committee meeting. Because we want to understand who accounts to who. Whether the council accounts to the president, through the department, or to parliament, or vis-a-vis the inter-ministerial committee. I think that question was asked even in the last portfolio committee, and of which I will then request that the department should respond to that question today. But however, my question, the second question, I think to the department is that who will then decide what are the evidence-based programs? Is it the IMC or the department, or the trustee, which is the executive board, or who? Because obviously, that in terms of the organogram, you can see there's the president, there's IMC, the department, the trustees, the secretariat, and also on the right-hand side, there's parliament. Who then will decide what are evidence-based programs? And secondly, the third question to the department, who will then set the gold standards of this council? And the last question, what is the role of the Secretariat vis-a-vis the National Council and also the board with regards to the resolutions that will then emanate from the plenary? Those are the three questions from the department, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mgweba, Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair, and a very good morning to all colleagues on the call. Chair, I must say that I'm very happy that we are now on Zoom, because Microsoft Teams was showing us flames, but I think it's a great move for us to move to Zoom. Chair, I really want to echo the concerns of my colleagues on the matters that have been raised. I'm very concerned, Chair, with this council and what it's supposed to do. I do not feel that there's been enough information that has been given to us through the presentation regarding to what the council is supposed to do. I don't believe that there has been much consideration about the role of this particular portfolio committee and how it's supposed to interact with a whole different council that has been, you know, that they want to set up. So I think that's fundamentally problematic, because we have, as a portfolio committee, have identified a number of issues that we still see across the country that have not been strengthened, or at least have not had some form of engagement to improve the systems that we have. And now we want to, you know, to set up something completely different while we still have so many shortfalls. The other thing that Honorable Sharif has raised is very important. This particular portfolio committee tried to have a joint committee with all other departments. That has still not happened, and I don't understand why the department now wants to rush to a council where there are still six, you know, portfolio committees that have not really thoroughly dealt with some of the issues that exist within the department. You know, when we tried to set up that joint committee meeting, one of the issues that were being raised there was the issue of rape kits in police stations. That is still an ongoing issue that portfolio committees together with departments across government still need to deal with. And so I think I need more clarity on that issue from the department. Also, I'm very concerned to echo what my colleague said about setting up another structure. I think there's been too many structures that have been set up. I think the people of South Africa are tired of talk shops, are tired of councils that just speak and never actually get to the real issues that we have in this country, which in essence is, you know, gender-based violence at a local level. So if we are now creating this homogenous structure at the top where the issues are on the ground, and we have not actually engaged with departments that are dealing with issues on the ground, we're going to have a big problem. I do support the bringing in of civil society, because I think civil societies are in places in communities that we cannot reach, or that the department itself and other departments are unable to reach. But I don't know if it's the best way to go about it through this council structure. There has to be a better way in which these civil societies report to the portfolio committee and not to this council structure, because the portfolio committee has the responsibility to ensure that the department is doing oversight, that the department is doing its work. That is the role of this portfolio committee. And now if the department wants to take away, because that's how it sounds to me, the department wants to take away the role of the committee, then that's fundamentally problematic. And so I think we need to get clear answers on that. What is the MNE of this council? What is its role on the ground? Not at a top level where there are trustees and, you know, there. What is its role on the ground? Because I cannot entertain, Chair, a conversation where we are not being told how this council is going to operate at a local level. How is it going to look like its tax break? How is it going to look like Enongoma? So we need to understand how this council is going to actually work on the ground to help our people. Right now, it seems like a superstructure that is being made to be a talk shop. It's inviting civil society, government representatives. But what is the impact on the ground? I'm not hearing what the impact is, and I think we need more clarity on that. An executive board and a whole wholeheartedly against it. As the DA, we will not support an executive board because, again, why are we having boards upon boards when, in fact, we are not dealing with the issues on the ground? We are not. We're not talking about police stations. We're not talking about the role of CGE. We're not talking about why is CGE there if we are not going to use it to its full capacity? Why are we not going to engage CGE and try to get down to the bottom of the litigation? The slides didn't have enough information for me to understand as a member of this portfolio committee. And to be quite honest with you, Chair, I really do feel that this council structure, it oversteps on the role and the responsibility of this portfolio committee. And if we are not going to say something about it as a portfolio committee, I do think that our own constituencies will turn against us, will as Honorable Masiko and Honorable Sharif have stated, that we have a responsibility to our constituencies. And I cannot, in good conscience, accept Chair's proposal because it takes away the power of the portfolio committee. And our role as legislators is oversight. The council is not there to do oversight over the department. It's not there to do oversight over the work that is happening on the ground. It is this portfolio committee that is responsible for that. And I think the department needs to clearly set out the differences for us, needs to give us the line items, as has been indicated by my colleagues. What are the line items and the cost items for each of the proposals that have been put in place? I do not see any of that within the information that we've received. I want to understand what is the impact on the ground for our communities. I do not see that as yet. I want to understand the monitoring and evaluation of this particular council. What is its role? What is its impact? What is how is it going to help our people? And I also want to understand, lastly, Chair, quite clearly, where is the portfolio committee sitting in all of this? Because I do think there's a tendency by the department to work independently outside of the committee, to really not involve us in a lot of the things that they are doing. And so I would have really appreciated that this would have been workshopped, if needed be, with the portfolio committee, because it has a huge implication on the work that we do as members of parliament. And I do believe that we needed to be involved in the workshop so that we could give our comments to direct the department on what it needed to do. I'll stop there for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti. Honorable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings once again to your good self, as well as the honorable members in the department led by the minister and the deputy minister. Chair, I think one must firstly, you know, reiterate the concerns that have been raised by the chairperson of the portfolio committee together with the honorable members. I think as a country and as government, Chair, we've established quite a number of structures that have, you know, gone dormant and are not functional, both at a national level and as well as provincial government. I'm just reminded, Honorable Chairperson, if I may, look at the functionality of the drug action committees that have been established at a provincial level, as well as at a local level, as well as the functionality of the national gender machinery itself, Chairperson. So I think it's very important for us as the portfolio committee to really thoroughly get the whole picture in relation to the establishment and the functionality of this council. Because, Chairperson, we're not here to assist the department to tick, you know, their boxes and say that we consulted the portfolio committee. We are here as a portfolio committee to thoroughly look and even satisfy ourselves, Chairperson, that when this council has been established, it will be able to operate to its maximum, you know, capacity and also be able to fulfill its role and the duties. So, Chairperson, I think as much as we are concerned around issues of gender-based violence and femicide, but the responses that we provide as legislators together with government must be the programs or responses that have been, you know, thoroughly thoroughly dealt with. So, Chairperson, I must also, agree with the concerns also around the issue of the composition of the council in terms of the 49%, 51% split for civil society and government representation. I cannot, agree with you more around those concerns, Chairperson. The next issue, Chair, that I'd like to look at that honourable members have raised is the issue of the organogram. The first question that I have around the organogram, Chairperson, is that UDG had said that the executive board will report back to the minister and the minister will report back to the IMC. Now, the question that I have is that if the executive board is reporting to the minister, does it, report to the minister through the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities? And if so, which will be the supporting program within the department that will be, dealing with this program, with this council? And then secondly, in terms of that issue, Chairperson, Honourable Peter has raised the fact that, we need to speak to the role of the portfolio committee, because the DG has explained that if we are looking at the issue of legislating this whole entire process, it will take us close to 2 to 3 years. And looking at the organogram as presented by the department, it then says that, we are placing Parliament under a legislation function, but and if we're saying that it can take a long time, we need to understand what is going to be happening, in the interim. How do we relate to this whole entire process as Parliament? So we really need to get an understanding of the function of the portfolio committee in developing this framework. I think it's important for us to get clarity, because it should not just make us happy to see that there's this hanging legislative function appearing there in the organogram, but we can't really speak to it and what processes will be followed. So I think we really need to get a proper roadmap towards the legislating this council, so that we are able to check the beginning and the end date of the entire process. In terms of the issue of the budget, Chairperson, I think we should, request the whole entire budget in terms of how will this be financed and how much it's going to cost. Honourable Sharif has raised that matter correctly. I want to also check, Chairperson, on the issue of the plenary. In terms of the financial implications that would be incurred in terms of logistical and administrative support, I think it's important for us to get that in terms of the whole plenary, and how as well will we have the premiers of the 9 provinces. We've heard that the premiers will be forming part of that, but it's important for us, Chairperson, to get into what then would be the response, who will be responsible for funding this plenary. It's important for us to get that. But Chairperson, I think in terms of what I had also, thought that we would get in terms of the roadmap now, because now we hear that the department, in fact, we see that the department has advertised. How long will this process be taking? Who will be responsible for then appointing the final council? I think we just need the entire program or the plan in relation to the selection process of the council having been advertised last week as we had seen. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Yeah, Honourable Masibo, you're correct. In fact, that's what we requested from the department, that we want them to come and share with us the strategy that they are going to use in terms of the criteria and who is going to be responsible for
receiving those nominations and even the shortlisting, whether they are going to do interviews or what, we don't know. And I think that's what we requested from the department. That's why it is important that the department, when we say they must go and do things, they must come back and report back to us, because they are accounting to this portfolio committee. Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also share the concerns that have been raised by my colleagues regarding the establishment of another structure. And I also believe that the information that has been given to us as members of the committee so far on the council is not enough. And it makes it very difficult for us to understand how is this structure going to work and what its impact will be on the ground. So. On the budget issues that has been raised by Honorable Sharif, I also believe that we need to know exactly where is the budget going to come from, and also the role of the portfolio committee must not be overlooked, because we have a responsibility to oversee the department, so we are not supposed to be representing decisions. So we need also to make sure that the oversight role of the committee is being respected. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable Songo, and then Mamsonti.
Mina, there's one thing I'd want to know is that the advert that the department had issued for the nomination of civil society, which other platforms was the department used to inform society, especially in the rural areas, about these nominations? Because I doubt they are welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm covered. Chair?
Yes, ma.
Okay, thank you. I think I'm covered about these issues. I'm covered by my colleagues. But what I can say to you, Chairperson, the department, please, if I think I keep hitting a pound in this committee of us, Kuchukulu Committee of us, because these things, has born a city about ground with communities. So I think Mr. Big was right when saying that this department, I mean this portfolio committee of us must be included on that council. And then me not even that council, I'm not I'm disagree about it. Because because of LAPI, I don't know. And then was told which man is called about so I'm not agree with them, but our committee, portfolio committee, must be included. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you very much, honourable members. You know, honourable members, I have just observed and noted some of the things that you have raised with the department in the previous meeting. And when I'm looking and I was reading the presentation, even today when the DG and the minister were talking to this presentation, you know, one feels that it's like as the portfolio committee, we are being overlooked, and whatever we're raising in relation to these issues, we're being like taken for a ride. You know, because we have raised many issues, and even the criteria, it was not up to us that even today we are still raising the issue that you have raised, Honorable Masiko. You see, if the department doesn't want to cooperate with us, we will write straight to the interministerial committee and to the president himself on the things that we have raised. Because if we have raised something as the portfolio committee, honorable members, we are expecting the department that when they come back, they'll be reporting to the portfolio committee and say, on this issue, this is how we have done this. This issue, this is how we have dealt with this one. That's why we are seeing it, we couldn't adjust on this one. But if things that we have raised, we just see them up as they are up until today, then it's a challenge for us. It's worse that you are presenting this thing without budget, the costing here, and then you don't even give us the detail on how is the structure going to work. And then at the end of the day, as the portfolio committee, you are expected to adopt a presentation that you have presented to us. It can't be correct. When you present something, you present a structure that you want to establish. That means you must also present the financials. If there's no budget for it, for the national council, why do you have a national council? Is that being objective? At the end of the day, do you think those people are going to be responsible, or they are going to take that work serious? You know, honorable members have raised many questions that we have seen many structures being launched, like the one example honorable Mamsiko have spoken about. A board or what at the provincial level, which has failed as never. Now, I think it's no longer even if effective or efficient. So, where it's worse when you're talking about the national council for issues of gender-based violence. Those people, do you think they are going to be serious and be accountable? So I'm not even sure whether are you serious about this whole thing that you're talking about. But let me hand over to you, Honorable Minister, DM, and DG, to respond to the questions that have been raised by honorable members. Honorable members, maybe the one of us having a joint portfolio committee with other portfolio committees that are all players in this issues with gender-based violence. I think that one, just our staff members are right here. What they need to do is to try to speak to those portfolio committees, and then even myself, I'll take it upon myself to speak to the person so that to make sure that all those portfolio committees, we convene a meeting with them, and we try and, you know, get the understanding on what is it that their departments are doing. Thank you very much. Over to you,
Gigi. Thank you, Chair. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the short presentation. I think sometimes it's because I just took it for granted that because the department said they had distributed the NSP document to all members of Parliament. So I just took it for granted that most of the information members of the portfolio committee would have. Because some of the questions that have been asked are in this document. Also, the issue of the 5149, I know that all members are saying they do not support that one. But what I want to clarify is that the executive board, because that's the only place where the 5149 applies, is the civil society members in the executive board are on a voluntary basis. They are going to be nominated by their sectors, by the sectors, and then they are going to serve on the board on a voluntary basis. However, they are not going to decide on budget. They are not even going to decide of the NSP. It outlines the implementation, it outlines the six pillars and what programs need to be implemented. Also, the other thing that I want to clarify before I even go to the question is the issue of the role of the council and that of the portfolio committee. The role of the council is not that of oversight. The role of a portfolio committee and of CGE is oversight. However, of the council is to be able to implement measures together, because civil society complain that they already implement, they already providing services in whatever little spaces where they are, whether in townships or in rural areas, in villages, wherever, they are already providing services. In fact, how they say we do their job. So now the purpose of the council and when they started developing the NSP was that let's all agree in terms of what needs to be done. Let's all put efforts together so that we all work towards the same goal, rather than other people implementing going the other side, other people implementing the going the other side. So the purpose of the council is not to do oversight. There is no way it can replace the portfolio committee, because it's not about doing oversight. I think also I'll hand over to my colleagues later to explain what civil society has already been doing in terms of the pillars, the six pillars in the NSP. They're already working on that. So the purpose is not oversight. The purpose of council is not oversight. It's to be able to work together, to be able to coordinate the implementation and align, so that all of us know who's doing what where. And in that way, we'll be able to understand the issues that need to be highlighted or services that need to be emphasized in different places. The chair, now I go to the questions. The chair also indicated that she's not happy about 5149. 5149 is about the programs. You know, the programs have already been agreed in the NSP, but it's just to be able to coordinate work. So they are not going to decide on budget. The portfolio committee, so the NEC is not going to, the executive board is not going to decide on budgets of government. But let me reflect again. When you look at the SANEC structure, as we said that we copied the SANEC structure, they have the executive board, which is on a voluntary basis. They are not paid for being in the executive board. The only people that are paid are those that are in the secretariat, as indicated that the secretariat has a CEO and other structures. For SANEC, government, national treasury, transfers 45 million. I think it's more than 45 million. It's about 45 million to the Department of Health, which then transfers that to SANEC for the secretariat, for payment of salaries and for the programs of organizing the plenary and other things that they do. However, as indicated that for the department, we will not be asking for a 45 million. However, we will be asking for money for payment of the secretariat and of certain programs. In terms of the structure of the secretariat, in the presentation, I've indicated that there's a CEO, there's administration, which is finance, HR, and whatever, and the secretariat, and those that would be responsible for the six pillars and other support. Those are the ones that we are asking for finances for. Also, other questions refer to the budget, that there is no budget. Currently, the National Treasury had allocated 5 million for the council. However, since the council was not yet in operation, that fund was not used. And if that fund is not used, obviously, you know that the budget processes were going to lose that budget. So for this year, we are not going to establish the secretariat in full, because the funding that is there is not enough. There is funding. There's a 5 million that has been set aside for the council. What has been advertised now is not for the secretariat.
men, persons from persons with disabilities, persons from rural areas, LGBTI and other, the seven sectors that have been identified. But also the other thing is that members who are going to serve in the board are people that should understand issues of governance, because they will also be having the responsibility to govern the trust. The people who are going to be paid will be the secretariat, not the council, and not the executive board, which has been advertised now. I've addressed the issue of the budget. I've addressed the issue of advent. There was an issue also from Honorable Sheriff, which about the setting of powers of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. What is the criteria now that the Department of Justice has not yet developed legislation? The National Council, the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence says what needs to happen, what is the implementation modality, and also it also talks about the MNE from page 62 onwards up until the end. It sets out the programs and how the relationship will be. Meanwhile, the legislation is developed. Yes, the department is aware that legislation, without legislation, some of the powers can be determined. However, as indicated earlier on, that cabinet was the one that decided that the department in the meantime should follow the SANEC route. Also, there was a question about what is government doing now when there is no council. How is implementation monitored? Government departments are submitting weekly reports, which the department has to compile into one report and send to the president. Every Friday, by close of business, the minister has to submit a report to the president on implementation of government. Also, officials from the department will expand on the weekly report, because all government there was a member who referred to the fact that the issue of the rape kits in court, and then other issues, the setting up of sexual offences courts and all those, government departments are reporting. DDG Shoki and Esther Maluleke will talk to what do the weekly report contain. Also, there was an issue of the province and municipalities. How they are going to be held accountable. When you look at I think it's page 62 also, or the section that deals with monitoring and evaluation, it refers also to the DPME that all government, page 62, the implementation and review of this strategic plan will be developed in alignment with the monitoring and evaluation plan consistent with the DPME process to ensure full integration. So national departments, provincial, and local government would have to ensure that they report according to the DPME processes. So which means that all the processes will be aligned until they get to parliament. So maybe we're not specific in terms of how it will get to parliament. I think the difference will be after legislation has been developed and the council is a statutory body, then the legislation will then determine how the monitoring process will be. For now, the process will be the minister will be reporting to the IMC, but also the minister will report to the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee will call the minister to come and report on the implementation of the council. Okay, Honorable PT, I refer to the meeting, the IMC meeting that the portfolio committee wanted to meet, the IMC meeting. I believe that the minister and the deputy minister have had that, and they will facilitate that meeting. The issue of also Honorable PT asked why rush to establish the council. I was not sure how to respond, but I just felt like just to say, Honorable PT, I think you
Pardon? You are rushing because the president said he has already established the council. So that means somebody misled the president that the council law is established already. Does that mean that?
No. I'm saying he had already indicated that because he was showing how urgent it is that it should be established. Actually, with this understanding, it was supposed to have already been established long ago. Okay. And the relationship of the council and the CGE and the portfolio committee had already addressed that the civil society wanted a structure that would facilitate the implementation and responding to gender-based violence together in an integrated way, because they are already saying we're implementing, we're doing government's work. However, we're not even talking to each other. So the process was so that we can be able to have one plan, each and everyone from wherever you are, your responsibility to address gender-based violence should be aligned to the national strategic plan. In that way, we're able to cause the implementation or government's response or the country's response to gender-based violence, and we're also able to say what are the measures that all of us have implemented. On the issue, Honorable Masite also asked about the 51, 49, and about the organogram, also about the plenary, wanting to know what are the logistical and admin support costs that would be required. On the plenary, is the meetings, civil society or representatives of civil society costs for attending the meetings and planning those meetings. That would be the cost that would be involved, because government would pay for themselves, private sector paying for themselves. The only people who need assistance would be civil society. That's the cost that would be involved. About the functionality of the other structures, I think the difference between the National Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Council is that civil society actually are the ones who are initiating, who are saying we need to work together, and they take ownership. That is why sometimes you hear them saying, this is our NSP, to show that all of us, it is our NSP. So this one, the aim is to coordinate and align the implementation of this. The services will continue being provided by police, justice, and all those, like your arresting and all those. Civil society, they assist in terms of victim support and other services that they've been doing before. But the purpose is so that all the services can be aligned, or all of us can know what. And how we're going to manage the advent, DG Shoki will respond to that one. Honorable Ngobo asked about the budget. I've already indicated that we have 5 million. However, we will need more in order to address or in order to fund the secretariat. And I've already indicated that SANEC receives 45 million from National Treasury. So also for this secretariat will come from the National Treasury. However, there was an honorable member who asked about the structure, what funding, something that said funding, the structure, there's somewhere where it refers to the gender-based violence and femicide fund. They will be responsible for raising funds for certain programs that will be implemented by the national, by the trust, which is the executive board and the secretariat. I will hand over to DDG Shoki and she was going to respond on the issue of the advent, how the advents are going to be managed. And there are two things that she's going to respond to. Earlier on, I indicated that civil society already, they were holding consultations with the six pillars, where they were educating further members of civil society in terms of the NSP, so that all members of civil society
afternoon, Chairperson, members of Portfolio Committee, Minister, Deputy Minister, the DG, and colleagues from the department. On the issue of how we are going to manage the adverts, we have deemed it fit to appoint a company with HR expertise that will be the one that will receive the applications as and when they come, but also package them according to the sections or sectors that we would like to see more representation coming from, as we have already outlined in the document. Out of that, they will then go through the CVs and check alignment to the requirements in terms of the advert itself, the call for the nomination, the competencies that are required, and all of that. And we will then have to have three maximum names that will be recommended to the IMC and the minister, where a decision will then have to be taken as to how are we making a choice in terms of a sector that represents disability and probably a sector that represents women in rural communities and all of that. But we don't want to be the ones that will now receive and even make that assessment.
By honorable members. But I, first of all, I have to agree that as elected public representatives, we have an important role to play in introducing to the public a strategic policy framework. But before I say much about that, I want to in our department of honorable, maybe not intentionally, it looks as though we are minimizing the role of parliament in this process. Remember, legislation will come from the explanation given by the DG further down the line. But traditionally, in parliament, formulating legislation, they are informed by the decisions of the line function department. And the line function department is accountable to parliament. So, in other words, the decisions we take that where we're supported by parliament on a daily basis, they will ultimately be looked at by those who are legislation. So I personally, I want to say the role of the portfolio committee, not a territory one, even at this stage. Because remember, when the minister speaks before the IMC, she presents the views that cannot be ignored. all support the mandate as given by our portfolio committee. We respect it, we take it seriously. I think we just have to move away to help to go forward to engage differently so that honorable members don't think that they don't matter. We just want them to give information. We really take this engagement very, very seriously. When the DDG show has spoken to the role of civil society, as far as I know, the president has been, on the other hand, employing ministers and deputy ministers to different districts nationally throughout the country, so that they test the needs of people and help them understand the NSP and so on. So in my understanding, it's not only civil society who has been on the ground. It is district development model, ministers and deputy ministers are champions there. They engage. So maybe we must be creative as though the competition, or that as a department we are just driven by those loud voices that are critical and undermining being in competition with government and so on. We have to continue following our own protocols very carefully and also assisting civil society. You remember the struggle of civil society. Sometimes civil society structures will say we represent civil society. And when you go to community-based structures at a local level, you find that they are not well represented as they think, or they imagine at the level where they talk amongst themselves. They also have a different platform where Umamkwena is used, doesn't feature, and yet the one who wakes up every day and is traumatized women and go to the local police station and so on. So, Chair, I want to assure honorable members that we take this process very seriously. It is the national crisis we are dealing with, but also our responsibility to account to the portfolio committee and be guided. We don't want even the portfolio committee to go to other committees when they are in the dark about our commitment. We don't see ourselves as running the department away from this important structure, the entry point to Parliament, because, you know, working with civil society, there will also be issues of funding, big funding. And if we are to move closer to SANEC, the Minister of Health will not go for, will not accept anything without addressing the portfolio committee management, so that we fully understand where the funding is going to come from, under which program, how does it relate to overall funding program that has been approved of the department. So there are many things we come back to this committee for. I just want to ask clarify that up front. And of course, the president is an important person for all of us, because as long as he puts his head on top of this agenda, it helps us a lot to get compliance from all other departments. At the same time, I've had him thinking that even going back to our political parties, all of us, as we are under this rule, we should fully go back to them and get guidance so that we're all in one. The NSP is a big, big agenda. So if I know there's no high level meeting within the ANC, for instance, where it's not discussed, and we assume we all have to do that with all political parties. Bring them fully, be committed, not go to them in doubt, as Honorable Teacher was saying, so that they guide and they see their hope. And I'm telling you, even when we write weekly reports to the president, if we raise critical issues, he's open-minded about the process. He's not fixated in having one idea. He believes all of us, we have to make a contribution and own the process. So I thought that's important. Maybe on the department side, we have through the office of the DC have a structured way of responding to specific questions to the portfolio committee timely, so as to take out this perception that the portfolio committee is a, by the way, is not mentioned much important when it comes to the discussions of the IC or our reports from different departments that are processed through us to the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. That would create a better impression. We have to have a culture of responding timely and clarifying things and engaging openly. I'm sure the DG will help us.
Yes, I have Chair, covered. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Minister, I think CM has covered many concerns because I saw the hands of honorable members, and most of the things that honorable members wanted to ask, CM, you have responded. That's why they are lowering their hands now, because they were indicating to me that yes, we have a consent. So, so thank you very much for your response. I think Didi.
Thank you, Chair. However, if there are questions, somebody wants to do all the questions that they've been asked.
there's no other matter or other issue that honorable members want to raise, then I'm sure we have come to the end of our meeting. Can I get a response from honorable members?
Chairperson,
yes,
I think we look forward to engaging more on this, and we are here to assist, so please take up our offer to assist.
Okay. Honorable Ngobo or Honorable Mpiti, I think I heard one of your voices.
I'm covered, Chairperson.
Okay. I heard a male voice. Honorable Masondo, were you raising your hand?
No, sir. I'm covered.
Honorable Mamsonti, I see Primrose. So, you want to speak?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, you can speak.
Okay, I'm covered. But the only thing I can say is that the department must stand up and
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. You have covered me partly. But I think in relation to rural areas, I think when you look at the presentation, there is a one person that must also, whether it's a civil society organization or it's a person coming from the rural areas, who will be part of that at the center. I think the sector that's left out is the children's rights sector. And I feel strong that it must be represented because most of the people who are affected, they are children. So there's nothing about the children's sector. And I feel strong that they must be also included in the council. That's why I feel sometimes when things are not, the consultation is not done with us, with Parliament, portfolio committee, we are left out and now we're reading these things that we feel strong that they must be. And you know, the one thing that I wanted to raise is that Minister Nobuti, I hear that you have appointed a company that is dealing with human resource things and so on. But so there was budget for this morning. The department has budgeted for this.
There were further questions. Okay.
No, I'm asking, but it's because we don't have capacity in the department.
No.
Why have you appointed a private company to do that job for you? You know, for instance, here in Parliament, when we are dealing with adverts and so on, we appoint ad hoc committees to deal with those responsibilities.
For
so, you have budget. But it's actually money. Somewhere, but it's in the Mali, and it's just left somewhere. And it's just got a 9 months. You can respond.
Okay. Civil society, I think, you know that they don't speak in one language. Even though, I mean, in terms of them, not about the implementation of the NSC, but I'm just saying, if we were to select others, then, and not select the others, then they'll be saying those we are siding with the others. So an independent body would then exclude them thinking that we favor others, because it would be a process which would end, whether they comply with the criteria that has been set, but also because the other thing that would address the issue that Honorable Masiko asked, it's not individuals who are going to nominate them. Normally, it's sectors within the civil society organization that will nominate a representative for the civil society. So the company will select those that meet the criteria, and maybe at the end of the day, give 3-3-3-3 or whatever the criteria that might be, and the minister, the INC, will then of those three. So in that way, people won't say the department favors other civil society because we work with them, but also it will provide some independence or integrity to the process.
So how are you going to address the children's sector one?
The children's sector one, in the presentation where we indicated 14 sectors, already there's children, there's the LGBTI, where we also talk to the health sector and all those other sectors, children are also included. I can ask the person who is that life issue, the sector, they do the sector.
speaking?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That is what Chairperson. I think on these civil societies, the religious, I'm sure, are inside, are included in this council. The religious. Because I think that's also a community.
In the plenary. The executive board has got 7 positions. So since in the plenary, so already we've limited even in the plenary, there are 14 centers within the plenary. There you need only 7. So it's going to be difficult to use all those centers that we included in the plenary. In the plenary, we have a civil host and a faith-based organization. There are also there, but not in the country. But it doesn't exclude them, because if the sector chooses a representative who is from a faith-based organization, that representative would have been nominated by the sector, by civil society sector. So it doesn't stop anyone from being, or any so for the executive board is 7, but for the plenary is 14. And those, when we say 14, is those that we identify. They might end up even evolving, but we think the 40 that we have identified are representative of all the sector.
I think where I'm sitting as the portfolio committee, I think we have been talking about the issue of using consultants. So the famous, the company that we have appointed, I'm sure as the committee, we are not agreeing with you. We feel strong that that should be done by government, irrespective of the response that has been asked now, that you have felt that because maybe there's trust from other civil society organizations. But what we want to instill in the department of government is responsibility in whatever we are doing, so that you are able to come and account to us. You see, the issues that was raised by Honorable Masiko and other members in criteria, and I strongly feel that that company wants to justice. But if that thing was going to be done by yourself, you are going to be able to deal with all the issues that are raised by honorable members of the portfolio committee. So you must know that there are issues that we are not supporting, we are strongly not supporting as the portfolio committee, according to what members are raising. So that even when you go to the interministerial committee, you have to report what you are saying as a portfolio committee. And it must not be things that you have done, and they think that maybe what you are presenting to them is things that you have consulted with us. It's for the first time that you have consulted with us. So our views must be shared with the interministerial committee. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think we have come to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, honorable chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a lovely day, all of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members and our officials. I wanted to report that I'm in, not the conference.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwesi. But the system actually recognized you. Those that want to speak must raise their hands on the system. Unless it's a
Ngwesi,